Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 2. If you're really good, then you can turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 14. And then a little bit, we'll be in Matthew 6. Title of our lesson today is Our Father Which Art in Heaven, which means that we will eventually get to Matthew chapter 6. If you're able, the book of Nehemiah, let's stand together, beginning at verse 1, Nehemiah. Nehemiah has heard that the city of Jerusalem is in great distress. The walls have been broken down, the gates have been burned with fire, and he tells us that he wept and mourned for certain days. And in verse 1, chapter 2, and it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, the king, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for this opportunity to come and to look at the fact that prayer is very important to you. And Lord, though prayer is hard oftentimes, may we pray without ceasing, even as Paul admonished the Thessalonians. Now, Lord, we ask that you would bless this service, and we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Matthew chapter 14, we'll begin reading at verse 22. Nehemiah, when put on the spot, prayed to the Lord. It does us well to pray during difficult times. But is that the only time that we should pray? We're going to read about Peter, who, the Bible says, cried out, but in reality, he prayed. And it says in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? If you would, back to the book of Matthew chapter 6. As we continue to study portions of the Sermon on the Mount, we look at what many people call the Lord's Prayer, though the disciples' prayer would be a more accurate title, according to Warren Wiersbe. In reality, it is really a sample of how we should pray. Nehemiah prayed when questioned by the king. Peter prayed when he began to sink into the waves. What would drive us to the point that we would pray? Prayer is something that we need to do daily. I'm not going to tell you it's easy. In fact, our adversary, his desire is that we don't pray at all. He would wish that we would forget to pray. But our Lord tells us that we are to pray. And it ought to be part of our daily life. The book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, those that he has mentioned in the previous verses. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Well, if he knows what we need, why should we bother to pray? Well, why do you talk to each other? Isn't it nice? And to your loved ones, you pray, you talk even more. And you are to love your Heavenly Father, right? We are to pray. We're not to pray to Mary or to disciples or angels. We're to pray to our Heavenly Father. And it says, continuing verse 9, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Lawrence O. Richards writes about prayer. The foundation of prayer is a personal relationship with God as our Father. This model prayer teaches us how to relate to Him, unquote. The purpose of prayer is to glorify God's name and to ask for help to accomplish His will on earth. Remember last week I said that sin separates us from our Lord. Sin, being like a wedge, drives us apart. Reminds me of the sign that I saw down here on a church that said, feel far from God. Guess who moved? Well, we are the ones who move away from God. And one of the reasons is that we have forgotten to pray, to have a close relationship with our Lord. In this sample prayer, we first must recognize Him in heaven, that He is in the heavens. Isaiah 45, 18 says, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it, He hath established it and created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Do you believe that He is the Lord, and there is no other God? He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He is not God of gods, because there is only one God, and He is that God. And I do not say this to be controversial, but when they say Allah is God, they are not praying to our God, and we are not praying to their God. We are praying to the Lord Jehovah. And we need to remember that there is a difference. Isaiah 48, 13 says, my hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth, Now listen to this. God says, and my right hand hath spanned the heavens. What's he telling you about his right hand? It's bigger than the heavens. We serve an awesome God. And when we come into this room to do so, we need to come realizing who we are serving, who we are worshiping. He is more than the basketball teams that are now going to be playing on Monday night. And to you that were rooting for Michigan State, well, there's always next year. He is bigger than the Detroit Tigers, who now have started off to a pretty good start. He's bigger than Wall Street. He's bigger than Google or any of the other things that are online. He is an awesome God, and we can go to him in prayer. Take your Bibles and keeping your place here in Matthew, turn to the book of Job, chapter 38. Job, chapter 38, and we'll begin at verse 1. Sometimes I think we forget how big our God is. And may I say this, you don't want a God you can put in a box and carry around. No, our God is far bigger than any box we can put him in. And it begins in verse 1 of Job 38. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, as you know, Job and the Lord have been having a discussion. Verse 2, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? The Lord is speaking to Job. Gird up now thy loins like a man. For I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare it, if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who hath laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Where were you, Job? He can ask that same questions of those today who declare evolution as a viable option to creation. Well, where were you when I actually did the work? How foolish they are. Someday as they stand before the Lord God Almighty, they will tremble at the thought that they even pondered this idea. This prayer that we found in Matthew chapter 6 that Jesus uttered begins with God's interests, not ours. God's name, God's kingdom, God's will. So prayer is all about God, right? Hello? It's about him. Robert Law said, prayer is a mighty instrument, not for getting man's will done in heaven, but for getting God's will done on earth. You do pray for God's will, correct? That's what we want. It's the prayer that never fails when we pray that God's will be done. A second thought is we must recognize him as hallowed, or set apart and holy, thus putting us in the proper frame of mind as we come to him. If I were to come to your house, would I find something that is special to you, a picture or a knickknack, a souvenir that you have set aside that if children come over, you don't let them play with this? It's something special. Do you have something like that? Do you have something in your house that it was given to you by a grandparent or by a parent or by a mate or by a sibling or by a child and it's special? It's set apart. Our Lord is set apart for he is holy. And we don't understand holiness yet. We don't understand what it means to be totally set apart with no sin in our lives. Can you imagine what that's going to be like when we do not have stinking thinking anymore? When we don't have bad thoughts about that driver who just pulled in front of us? When we are inconvenienced? How many of you remember when McDonald's was a fast food restaurant? It's not fast food anymore, is it? No, they don't have fast food anymore. And we are always what? In a hurry. You know, when I used to go to the ATM machine, it was in and out really quick. Now you put in the card and now you answer 75 questions. Well, maybe not 75. And then you have to wait. And if you put your checks in wrong, they send them back out to you. So you have to turn them around and put them in the right way. You know, we are in a hurry. But can you imagine God, who is never in a hurry? For his time is not our time. He is set apart. A third thought is, thy kingdom come. It's more than a theological concern with the final events in the history of the world or mankind. It is an expression of our willingness to submit to his will now as well as the future. That we are willing to submit. Thy kingdom come. It's about him and not about us. We find forth the request for daily bread. It expresses both dependence on him and confidence in him. Do you like good bread? Do you think our bread is as good as it used to be? In many cases, it's not. But there can be good bread, right? If you're going to have a good pizza, it begins with a good bread. Do you like good donuts? Or would you rather have a good bagel? How many would rather have a bagel? How many would rather have a donut? It's about 50-50. Now, I'm going to tell you where you can get a good bagel. Can I do this? 23 Mile in Van Dyke. I think it's called the Golden Apple. Do you know where that is? Go in and ask for their Swiss melt. Oh, folks, that's good. And be disappointed if they are sold out. And tell them you're disappointed. Okay, don't just walk out and say, ah. No, let them know they made a mistake. Okay? Good bread. But we are to ask for our daily bread. We trust God so much that we only ask for our daily bread and not great wealth. Was Jesus Christ, when he walked upon earth, wealthy? But he had enough, right? He had enough. Too often in our world today, we think we need our wallets full. I was embarrassed yesterday. You ever been embarrassed? I went into the Sterling Heights Library and I got out a couple of things so that we could watch them and went up to the counter and she was checking it out, and she looked on the computer and she goes, you owe 75 cents. Now that's not earth-shattering, is it? But you know what was earth-shattering is I did not have one penny on me. I didn't have a single dollar bill. My grandkids had just come. And somehow they took it all home. I don't understand that. We have a candy hunt on usually the day before they leave. This time, Anna got to play with them. And it's late at night, so I hide all the candy in the basement, and they only get flashlights to find it. And I always put money out to it. Anna got some money, and then she traded and got chocolate bars. It worked out well. And so my money all went to them. But that's okay, isn't it? It's more blessed to give than to receive. And the Sterling Heights Library said they were in no hurry. They know where I live. But we ask for a daily bread, that which is necessary. Fifth, forgive us. It expresses our awareness that we fall short in all things and must rely on a constant flow of God's amazing grace. Aren't you glad for the amazing grace of our Lord? That he doesn't say, I have forgiven you 17 times on this issue. I will not do it an 18th time. Now, I don't want anybody to raise their hand except for myself. I will do this. But how many of you have asked the Lord to forgive you for something, say, 745 times? Okay? I've been there. And you know what the sad thing is? It probably will get up to 800 unless he takes me home very soon. There are certain sins in our lives that we have that they just seem to grab us and grab hold and take control. Forgive us. Express our awareness that we fall short. And don't ever think that, oh, I have reached a point where I don't sin anymore. Because you haven't yet. Sixth, not only are we asking God to forgive us, but we realize that we need to be forgiving others. I appreciate it if you have something against me. Two things. I appreciate it if you bring it to me and let me know, so hopefully I won't do it again. But secondly, if I have offended you, that you forgive me. Because I am not a perfect preacher. I want you to know that. I am not a perfect pastor. There is no such thing. The fact of the matter is we all make mistakes and we all need to be forgiven. And may I say this, if you don't forgive somebody something and you hold a grudge, it's like a wedge between you and that person. Oh, and I think there are people who hold grudges against God. They're angry with God. And they want God to say, forgive me. Is God going to say, forgive me to you? No. We need to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Thy will be done. It's good to know that our God is greater than the evil one. Verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The fact is that we are mere humans and we are helpless against evil, and we need to ask for victory over the devil, his demons, and his followers. Folks, there are a lot of followers of evil today. Let me read something I got in a magazine that Mrs. Van Langenhoven gave to me last Sunday. Netflix. Don't tell me you have it because I don't want to know. Netflix continues leading teens into temptation is the caption. It says, well over 140,000 supporters have signed AFA's petition urging Netflix to abandon 13 Reasons Why, its original series that glorifies suicide. Despite the petition and the fact that precious teens like Anna Bright have been driven to take their lives after binge watching 13 Reasons Why, Netflix has refused to remove the toxic show. In fact, the network is at it again, this time with Sex Education, a sexually explicit comedy series aimed at teens. It first aired in the United Kingdom, but is now available in the U.S. Isn't that great? Set in a fictional high school, the new series is problematic to Melissa Henson of Parents Television Council. Henson warns parents that it contains explicit sexual content with nudity to a degree and extended, rarely even seen on HBO or Cinemax. Well, Pastor Paul, what do you think about HBO and Cinemax? I don't think you should have it in your house. I don't think that these are necessary parts of society, but I digress. PTC, or Parents Television Council, asked Reed Hastings, Netflix chairman and CEO, how he could justify airing this type of content for children. Hastings callously let Parent Television Council know that people who don't like the show don't have to watch it. Now, he is right, is he not? You don't have to watch it just because it's there. My dad used to say the one thing good about a television is it had an on-off switch. How many of you remember when your TVs had an on-off switch? Yes. Now they're on the back of the television, right? And you have to go and find it. But anyways, he seemingly had no sense of accountability or remorse for its negative impact on countless kids and teens. See, we live in a society where our enemy has convinced people they have the right to do anything they want to do. And the love of money is the root of all evil. Jesus gave four instructions to guide us in our praying. First, we must pray in secret before we pray in public. Second, we must pray sincerely. Third, we must pray in God's will. Fourth, we must pray having a forgiving spirit towards others. Warren Wiersbe writes, it is noteworthy that there are no singular pronouns in this prayer. They are all plural, from our Father to lead us. Thus, we are all part of God's worldwide family of believers. And he continues, we have no right to ask for ourselves anything that would harm another member of the family. If we are praying in the will of God, the answer will be a blessing to all of God's people in one way or another. I am running out of time before I'm running out of sermon. Two final thoughts. This prayer is a model not to be repeated, as we are warned as repetitious. I don't believe it's wrong to use it at a funeral or in a group setting, but I don't think it ought to be a sole prayer that we pray over and over and over again. But we need to pray to our Creator God with an attitude of awe, submission, dependence, and complete confidence in his love. So do you believe that God thinks our prayers are special? Do you? Revelation 5:8. And when he, that being Jesus, had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of the odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Our prayers are remembered. If you would, and in conclusion, the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Familiar words, Hebrews chapter 4, beginning at verse 14. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tested like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Shall we stand together? We're going to sing an invitation song of There's a Great Day Coming. How important it is that first we have made that prayer of asking the Lord to forgive us of our sins and to come and to be our Savior. Once we have asked that, then we have a right to come boldly to the throne of grace. Maybe this morning you'd just like to come and ask the Lord to help you with maybe even your prayer life. Maybe you'd like to come and pray for someone that is going through a difficult time. Maybe you'd like to come and just simply pray for wherever the Lord would lead. Dear Heavenly Father, now as we have this invitation time, we ask that the Spirit would move. And you would touch the hearts of those that are here. And we ask this in Jesus' name again and with thanksgiving. Amen.